Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior, a Hap-Up podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by the wonderful Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm okay, Taryn. I am really disappointed in this episode because they had an obstacle called Spinball Wizard, and Matt Nachbar did absolutely nothing with the song Pinball Wizard about it. No, it's okay. I'll get over it. Just really disappointed.
They really did nothing with it at all. I mean, there was no reference to magic or wizardry or robes or anything.
There are so many lyrics in the song Pinball Wizard that could be applicable, and they just did not use it. Maybe Matt and Akbar are just not a fan of The Who, but there's literally even a line about, like, he can't hear all the buzzers and the lights. Like, there's just a lot you can do with it.
Well, this is a weirdly named obstacle in the first place, so maybe they didn't want to lean that heavily into it. We're here to talk about the San Antonio City Finals. How you been doing, Lita? You've been on a lot of Big Brother podcasts lately.
Yeah, I mean, not compared to other people on this podcast currently. But yeah, I've been doing okay. It's been kind of a whirlwind keeping up with live feeds 24/7 when 2 years ago I had never even seen Big Brother. But it's been exciting.
Yeah, it's been fun to have you on. I get to, make fun of you in other venues now. So it's very enjoyable.
The more avenues, the better.
Yeah, for sure. I've been busy also with the Taryn Show. I just released the third episode with Ian Terry, Big Brother 14 winner. And that was a lot of fun. And after I recorded, Lita was like, why didn't you tell me you were going to talk to Ian Terry? You could have set me up. He could have been my husband.
I was just really feeling betrayed because you are aware that I am trying to get on a date with Ian Terry and you did nothing to remedy that situation.
Ian Terry lives in Texas. Maybe he could have competed in the San Antonio qualifiers.
Yeah, maybe. Well, distance does not matter to me. What matters is that you were a bad friend.
All right. Anyway, let's talk about the course for the San Antonio City Finals. We have, first off, the qualifying course that we all know and love and talked about a few weeks ago. The floating steps into the TikTok, the spinning bridge, into the sky hooks, then the pipe fitter, and finally the warped wall. Then we move on to the back half of the course, which starts, as always, with the salmon ladder. You got to take that bar, stick it up those rungs, stick it in there.
It's more like on there.
Well, you got to stick it, you get in those
into
little
rungs. Into the grooves,
in
okay.
The rungs, yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, just brief pause. On the LFC roundtable last night, when I introduced Alex, I said, are you feeling better, Alex? And I don't know why I said that. I was trying to say, oh, I talked to Alex this morning. Like, how's it been going since then? But it came out as like, are you feeling better? And nobody questioned it. Like, Alex started to be like, wait a minute, feeling better. But everyone had talked over him at that point. And now it's just in there forever. Just like this random mistake. Somebody someday is going to be like, I wonder what was wrong with Alex Kidwell.
I was wondering what was wrong, but I didn't want to ask. I was like, he seemed fine on the update this morning. But okay, why did you bring that up while we're talking about the salmon ladder?
Just because I said stick it in there, and that was totally the wrong thing to say, but I went with it. So anyway, then we move on to the hourglass drop, a deadly obstacle. You have to drop from a bar onto this big trampoline. It's very hard to hit the trampoline right. You go up onto the, what would you call it? The hourglass, I guess.
It's like boards.
It's like the what are they called? The wave runner in stage mm-hmm. two, where you got to grab on. It moves back and forth. You have to jump across to the next one and then dismount. A very difficult obstacle there. We see more than half of the competitors fail at hourglass drop. And then finally, we get to the Spinball Wizard, which is just the weirdest name. I mean, who came up with this?
It feels like it's like a copyright infringement or something. Like,
maybe.
That's a very famous song made by very powerful people.
I feel like you're way too focused on the song here. I feel like Spinball Wizard by itself is a weird enough name.
But because it's obviously a pun on the song. Pinball Wizard is not a phrase outside of that song.
I'm pretty sure it's a genre of pinball.
It's a genre of pinball? Okay. Well, I'm a pinball wizard, personally, and that sounded sarcastic, but I'm actually extremely good at pinball, and I would not classify myself as a wizard, because that's not a thing that people say.
Surely there are wizard-themed pinball machines.
Yeah, I guess so. Not the best ones.
Well, very, very strangely named obstacle.
It's also weird to talk about because you want to be like, oh, he dismounted before the last spin ball or something. You know, like there's like four separate things, but I don't know what to call them. So I just have been calling them the individual spin balls, but that seems wrong.
It is wrong because you're supposed to call them wizards.
The individual. Spin ball is the modifier. It's the adjective. Okay, I got it.
All right. So basically this obstacle, it consists of about, I think, five of these. They look like the start of handles. They go out to each side, but instead of a bar in the middle, it's just like two balls hanging on either side and they spin. And then the handle like base itself will also spin and go back and forth, depending on which one it is. Some of them don't move, some of them do. And so they have to leap across each one to get to the other side. And then finally, we have the elevator climb, which really does seem more difficult than the invisible ladder. With this, it seems like it's harder to like push up. Like it seems like they're trying to, like, with the invisible ladder, all you needed to do was just like, if you left those rings alone, they would just like fly up. It seemed like mm-hmm. So all you needed to do was move against your weight to go up. Whereas the elevator climb, it seems like they're really trying to push those handles up through the grooves that they're in, which makes it probably a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it's like a gigantic crank it up.
Yes, exactly. So that is the course. Very difficult one. We didn't see many finishers at all. In fact, we only got one. So we almost had a Philadelphia here.
Yeah, only one finisher, which was a little bit tipped off by, again, that saving of the Palm Wonderful run of the night is really kind of ruining the drama lately, but it's fine.
Yeah, it happens. I think maybe we should just stop talking about it and try to, like, forget about the Palm Wonderful run of the night. Don't think about it.
Are you hypnotizing our listeners?
Yes. Okay. You're ruining
Sorry.
It. Don't think about the Palm Wonderful. It'll ruin the episode. Okay, here we go. You're welcome, everyone.
I think this is the second week in a row we've talked about hypnotism.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was talking about it in reference to that child that wouldn't stop flipping.
Lita, at this point, they don't remember that we even talked or did anything. So they have no idea what we're talking about.
They forgot everything, including the Palm Wonderful run of the night.
What is that?
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really weird combination of words that you just said. All right. So first off, we had Nate Burkhalter, the 31-year-old oil and gas engineer. He was transferred to Norway over the last year, and they got lots of pretty B-roll.
Yeah, they did. My brother and I used to be terrified of the idea of Norway because we heard that that's where trolls were from. And
are you calling Nate Burkhalter a troll?
No, that's like the ancestral region of trolls, and trolls are scary.
All right. Sorry, Nate. Lita thinks you're a troll. Don't send her a t-shirt.
They don't know what you're talking about.
I will say I have a lot of comments about the B-roll footage from this episode. And this was definitely some good stuff, thankfully, with the pretty Norway footage. I wonder if they actually sent somebody out to film in Norway or if he shot that himself.
Or they just asked some random person in Norway to send them video footage of Norway.
I did at my old job. he goes on the course and does pretty well here, moving his way through pretty smoothly. They said they've increased the distance on the sky hooks, so those jumps are going to be even bigger. He gets through it fine. He skips the final pipe of the pipe fitter. He yells back at it. Akbar says he was mad dogging that pipe fitter.
Yeah.
He wasn't big dogging it, but he was mad dogging it. Yes, I did just accidentally say something unfortunate.
You're so bad at talking lately.
Akbar, me, you know what? We made fun of Big Dog Ninja, and I think we just realized why it's very bad. You know, just one letter off, just one syllable off, and you're in a really bad territory. Not saying that it's not true of Jody, but oh still.
Wow. This is going to be the first time that when this appears on iTunes, there's going to be the little explicit thing next to it.
Never. So yeah, he's mad dogging that pipe fitter. He gets all the way to the hourglass drop, but then backflips right off of it. Got too much forward momentum. He tries to make the grab, but he's just moving too forward, and he's not able to hold on as his body momentum spins him off, and down he goes. Nate Burkhalter ends up on the bubble and ends up not qualifying in 16th place. Bad luck.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they explained his nickname, because his shirt was so confusing, because it says Illuminate, but it just says Illumi and then Nate, because that's his name. I was like, what is Illumi? Illumi? Like, what is Illumi Nate? And then I understood, because they also said that he has Dominate and like No Limits Nate. It's a lot of nicknames.
Sounds like he's part of the Illuminati or something.
Yeah, I thought it said Illini, and I was like, did he go to the University of Illinois or something? But yeah, also
you
Illuminati.
You would think it's a college reference.
They're the Fighting Illini. That's
all right.
School.
That sounds dumb.
They're in the Big Ten.
Oh, the Big Ten. Oh, man.
All comes back to that.
I've literally never heard of the Big Ten outside of American
Ninja
Warrior.
That's because you've literally never watched an athletics event other than American Ninja Warrior.
Not true.
Okay.
All right. When we got a montage, right away we get a montage. First we had Victor Juarez, who is called El Animal.
Because El Fit Vic was taken, I think.
Very true. He's a college engineering student who couldn't pass the test on the salmon ladder. They really go with these college stuff, like the test, the equation. It's man. And then we had Brittany Hanks, who was a former gymnast who lost her grip on the sky hooks. I believe this is the city where we commented that the female field was not the strongest, apart from obviously Barclay and Casey.
Yeah, which is definitely a coincidence. Totally. Yeah. That these two who have this really cute relationship are the ones to qualify for Vegas.
What a great story that they happen to be the only two qualifiers for Vegas.
You can't write this stuff. That's why reality TV is so great.
Yes.
Hey, did you notice that the opening montage this episode wasn't sponsored by the San Antonio Board of Tourism?
I did notice. It was, more about Casey saying, you know, I almost didn't compete this year.
Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy if Casey retired?
What? So let's move on to Sam Ballard. Sam Ballard, I think. The 32-year-old warehouse manager, he says he's not an athlete because he was never very active. He stayed inside, played video games. And his dad was always the athlete. And he watched American Ninja Warrior with his dad, who said, you're going to do that? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he did it.
And you just know that something's going to go horribly wrong with his father.
Because this has been, because the dramatic, okay, here the reveal that his father was diagnosed with cancer, given a year to live or so, comes like 2/3 of the way into the package after like a couple of minutes of like dramatic music over like, I played video games when I was a kid. I wasn't
an athlete.
That's
a really sad childhood.
I was like, what's going on here? And then the B-roll footage of him watching with his father was so awkward. It was so
they're so close together.
Yeah. And the obvious, like, these guys aren't actors. I don't blame them. I blame the producers here for filming this bad. And then later on, he's like got like a handwritten note that's like, do
I'm
this
proud
for
of
me.
You, son, or something. Yeah.
Like, man, this is like it even looked like it was filmed in like 60 frames per second. Like it was a soap opera. Like I don't understand what they were doing here. But I did like the story. He says that he slept in his car as he journeyed around to various ninja gyms to train, and like then got back to his house and built a course. He was training like 5 hours a day. And I was like, man, this is like a Dragon Ball Z training montage. Like he really put his guns to it.
I've never seen that program.
Well, that's unfortunate for you. Where was your childhood?
I was watching like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't have nearly as cool training montages as Dragon Ball Z, just saying.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah. All right, so he takes on the course. I'm rooting for him here. I think I like the dedication, right? Like going around to these training places, learning the techniques, building his own course. Dedication is always good in my book. He goes sideways on the sky hooks, but manages to like grab on and finish that obstacle. Gets all the way to the pipe fitter and fails the transition, unfortunately.
Yeah, something I would like to ask someone like Sam, or just like these people who are just like, I just got off the couch and went to a ninja gym and like whatever. Can you just go to ninja gyms and like have someone train you? I don't understand how these work. Can I just like walk into Najee's gym in Philadelphia and get a private lesson? Like, it seems like they all just get very good at this very quickly.
It's funny you ask that, because I'm actually gonna, and you know this, but I'm gonna be moving soon within Boston. And I've been thinking about, like, I'm really bored with my workouts. I'm like, you know what? I cover American Ninja. I would love to compete on the show someday. Why don't I know there's a ninja gym fairly nearby. That's where I met John Alexis Jr. When I went there. Why don't I see if I can do some training? Well, how would I go about doing that? Can I just go to a ninja gym and have somebody train me?
I just don't understand.
So I will hopefully find out soon.
Yeah,
and
please
I will let the listeners know. It was funny. I was actually, we've got a guest lined up. I was planning on talking to him about it. And I was also going to ask if we get James and Alyssa back. I was going to be like, hey, guys, what do you think? How should I train for Ninja
Warrior?
Yeah,
well, and Alyssa's from your area, sort
exactly.
of. Yeah, so you should ask her. But because I was just thinking about it, because Columbus is not, it's not close, but it's not super far from me. And I'd be like, it would be worth going there if I knew like the Wilcheski brothers and Michelle Wernke were going to like be there and like assist in training me if I sign up for a class or whatever. But I just have no idea. Can I go and be like, I can't do a pull up. Help me. Like, I don't know how this works.
Well, we'll find out. I'll bring back some information. Oh, well, maybe we'll ask them on the podcast when we have some guests on. We'll see. So we'll get that information. So Sam Ballard, unfortunately, doesn't do super well here, but we'll probably see him back. Next up, we had Abel Gonzalez, the 33-year-old gym owner. We join him at the Pipe Fitter. And Akbar says he's channeling that inner 2015 Abel.
Yeah. I'm glad that I'm not channeling that 2015 Lita. I think it would just be like not knowing how to podcast and complaining that I can't drink alcohol.
Yeah. Did you wear 2015 Lita shirts?
Yeah. Yes. When I was a sophomore in college, I really had no friends because I just wore shirts that had the year and my name on it.
We are all Lita.
We are all literally able. I can't come up with any puns.
No, it wasn't bad. Matt says, like Matt himself, he suffers from rheumatoid arthritis, but you would never know from watching him on the course, and you really wouldn't.
Did you know that about Matt?
I did know that about Matt, actually. I believe he talked about it on The Celebrity Apprentice, and I believe he's also mentioned it on previous seasons. I think talking about Abel. But he misses the jump on the hourglass drop, too much forward momentum as well. And goes out here, but he does manage to qualify for Vegas.
Yeah, thank God. This trampoline really bummed me out this whole episode.
I think it bummed a lot of people out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to make a bum joke, but...
you've done enough.
Yeah. Next up was Karsten Williams, a 36-year-old personal trainer. He says himself, right? These are his words in the package. Karsten is the cream of the crop.
He said that in the third person?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Okay.
But man, he's got some muscles. Akbar says, check out those muscles on Karsten Williams when he's on the Pipe Fitter. So, got muscles. He's the cream of the muscle crop.
Yeah, I liked how his whole package was like, remember that time I beat Mike Bernardo specifically? It's like,
yeah.
Strange.
Went through Mike's run like he was strong at first, but then he failed right at the end and I won. It was great.
Yeah, what's his beef with Mike Bernardo?
Well, it's his thing now. He won the salmon ladder thing. So he also skips that final pipe on the Pipe Fitter. That's going to be something that we see a lot of over the course of the night. They talk about how he's understanding that he needs to get through this course quickly, which is something that I think a lot of the athletes came to understand pretty quickly, because the hourglass drop is so difficult and there's so much variance when it comes to it, right? Where like a lot of people are going to go out on that obstacle. So getting to it quickly is more important than saving your strength to get past the hourglass drop. And I think that's why we didn't see a lot of finishers, because when there's a big like stopgap, right, where there's like this big obstacle in the way of completing the course, you know that you have to get there fast, and so you're using more of your strength to go fast instead of to conserve it to complete the whole course. So that's probably what played into that. And he does go pretty quickly here. He makes the jump on the hourglass drop. It didn't matter that he was quick because he is the first person to get past that hourglass drop. And at this point, they're saying he's made it to the Spinball Wizard. And I'm just like, what is that name?
Do you think this was one of those things where it was fan designed and they just didn't tell us again?
Very possible. Yeah. He fails in the middle of the Spinball Wizard of Spinball. I don't know. The Spinball Wizard. The third wizard he falls on.
Third wizard.
There's Carson Williams. He does qualify, obviously. Anybody that got past the hourglass drop managed to qualify for Vegas. Then we had another montage starting with Sherry Loriano, who goes out at the floating steps. Then Cass Clausen, Jared Bandy, and Kevin Klein all go out on the hourglass drop.
And they don't get puns or anything in the midst of this double montage.
No, truly the most aggrieved montaged people are the ones that get like tallied off.
Yeah.
Like that.
If like the montage is about the obstacle rather than about the people, it's like this hourglass drop has been killer. Here's a bunch of names. They are gone now. Goodbye.
Here are a bunch of people that failed at it.
Yeah.
So then we had another montage starting with Jonathan Parr, who is a physical therapist. He's known as the Flying Squirrel, and he got bounced at the hourglass drop.
Yeah, but I think that he looks more like a monkey.
Fine.
It's a deep pull to one of our older podcasts.
Flying Squirrel Monkey.
Yes.
Then we had Blake Devine, the electrician who ran out of juice on the pipe fitter. And finally, Katie Haymaker, the engineering student who couldn't solve the skyhooks. Then finally, we get to Thomas Stillings, the 23-year-old gym owner. They call him the Genie Ninja. And he does manage to qualify for Vegas. So I can say I was digging the haircut when I saw him in person. And I mentioned this to Lita, and she was like, what are you talking about? What haircut?
I agree with you now. It was hard to see him. I don't know. I just like couldn't really tell what the difference was because his ponytail was short and I maybe didn't have my the ponytail that he had before was like really short anyway. And I maybe didn't have my glasses on at the time or something. So I couldn't tell a difference, but he's looking fine. And of course, this package is about him being engaged as soon as I'm like, OK.
Yeah. I also was able to correctly identify his brother in the audience.
Well,
it was
you
very
at
impressive.
First thought that he was Thomas Stillings, though.
I was
so
like,
that
is
doesn't
that
count.
Thomas Stillings? He kind of looks like him. He looks exactly like Thomas Stillings, but he's not Thomas Stillings. What's going on here? And I was like, boom, it's his brother. Obvious.
Obvious. Yeah.
I'm
you
a genius.
Picked him out of a lineup. Yeah, these guys, him and Daniel Gill, they get married so young.
Yeah. He took after Daniel Gill's lead there.
Yeah, everything Daniel Gill does, he does slightly slower.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a new gym owner. He's got his wife working for him as the receptionist, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. So he's basically saying, I'm growing faster than I think maybe even I should be. And then he gives this like laugh that doesn't feel genuine and he looks dead in the eyes.
Yeah, well, it's not easy when you're forced to get engaged just because Daniel Gill did it 6 months earlier.
Well, he's going to beat Daniel, right? Like, he's going to try to beat him to like kids, right? He's going to like,
oh, maybe. Yeah, that's why he's dead in the eyes. He's just like, I have to do this so soon. He's 23. This was really cute, though. They seem really in love. And she left his job to help him with his new business and work there. This is really sweet.
Yeah, it's really great. Like he talked about how supportive she is for him following his dreams, and very, very nice to see. I hope that he's not actually dead in the eyes. I hope that he's enjoying that life.
Yeah, he's looking better than ever. I also love his tattoo. I don't know if I've said that before.
There you go. So he's got those big genie pants on. He skips that final pipe on the pipe fitter, and Akbar says, "Look at that. You can tell he has his own gym in San Antonio."
Yeah, because you just told us.
Yeah, you did just tell us. And also, does it have to be in San Antonio? Like,
that's a classic San Antonio grip there.
Yeah. And not only that, but he says this at the Warped Wall.
Like, yeah.
The one that almost everybody completes. Sorry, Casey. and like, it's like, really, that is what he made it up the Warped Wall. That proves that he has a gym in San Antonio.
Yeah. I also liked how he was like, what better way to publicize your gym than to come out here and dominate the course in your hometown? I'm like, at least they know what's going on. Like, we've been complaining all season about like, okay, this is obviously just an ad for this guy's pizza shop or this guy's gym or whatever. And I like they're just outright acknowledging it.
Yeah, there you go. He skips the second board on the hourglass drop. He does manage to make that grab, but man, almost falls trying to skip that second board. He just barely manages to hold on to the landing platform. And even he looks like he's in disbelief that he even managed to hold on.
Yeah, it's so tough because you also have to duck your head to not get whacked on the other board.
Mm-hmm. It was very impressive, very fun to watch Thomas Stillings, as always. We even got a replay like mid-run, which we almost never do. They're like, wow, look what you just saw 2 seconds ago. And I know I've said this before, but they actually do those replays on the screen sometimes when you're live at the actual taping. So they do have those ready to go.
Yeah, if you're smart enough to actually pay attention to the screens at live tapings.
Yeah, and realize that they have big screens at tapings.
They're not big.
All right, then he gets to the spinball wizard, and he skips that last wizard.
Yeah, he skips the last of everything. It's really
very true.
It's really cheaping out on this course.
Well, actually, I noted later on in the episode, I don't believe anybody even touched that last wizard.
Ooh,
everybody skipped it. Yeah.
That poor lonely wizard.
It didn't even need
never
to be
been
there.
Touched.
Yeah. So he gets all the way to the elevator climb. Looks very, very concentrated when he's on there. The looks on people's faces as they do that are always very interesting. It's either like total blank face, total struggle face, or just like the Daniel Gill, like eyes closed, looking to God, like, I'm going to do this.
Struggle face.
Yeah.
I like that as a nickname for someone.
That was Brent's.
Oh.
He says he ultimately goes down here. He looks completely exhausted. He's just sprawled out on that landing
pad. Yeah, he looks dead.
Yeah. He says he knows he could have finished that climb if he just worked a little harder on his dead hangs.
I guess so. Seems a little too easy.
Well, what would you suggest?
Working on that, on the elevator climb.
Because everybody has one of those in their backyard.
Just get a crank it up.
Get Kevin to build a crank it up for you.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, so that was it for Thomas Stillings, who ultimately comes in second place yet again to Daniel Stillings. Daniel Stillings.
They didn't get married to each other. I know that that was confusing.
Almost.
Yeah.
There's some fanfic out there,
hashtag
I bet.
Hashtag Gillings.
Yeah. Second to Daniel Gill. So next up was Jonathan Horton, the 31-year-old, a former Olympic gymnast. This is his third time competing, but he's never qualified for Vegas. He talks again about his injury that kept him from winning that gold medal at the Olympics. And he wants to make it to the top of Mount Midoriyama. He feels like that will be just as good as winning a gold medal, if not even better.
Is that better? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it is.
You would rather...
Do you win $1 million if you win a gold medal in the Olympics? I doubt it.
No, but I bet you could make a ton of money, like, with endorsements and stuff like that.
Depends on the sport, right?
Gymnastics? Well, men's gymnastics, you're right, is not as high profile.
Yeah. I feel like this is a legitimate debate. Let us know in the comments.
If you would rather win an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics... In men's gymnastics, or if you would rather win American Ninja Warrior. I think I would rather win American Ninja Warrior, but maybe if it was women's gymnastics, then I would rather win a gold medal.
All right. The debate is on. he gets all the way to the warped wall and says, don't get too excited. I never make it up on my first try. Akbar says, you will make it up on your first try. And then guess what happens?
He makes it up on his first try.
I told you, says Akbar.
Which is good, because a lot of the time they really curse these athletes. When they say true. Something will happen.
Then he gets to the salmon ladder and Akbar says, look at his biceps. It looks like he has baseballs in his arms.
Yeah, that's
kind of true.
Yeah, that's kind of already been done, though. I feel like they've said something similar about Jeff Britton with the Popeye arms.
Yeah, but Popeye arms. It really does look like they just bulge up like there is a baseball inside of his skin.
Maybe there is. And it's a rare condition.
Maybe that was the injury.
Yeah, he got a baseball stuck in his forearms, in each of his forearms. Tragic.
He gets past the salmon ladder, but his knees buckle on the hourglass drop trampoline. And he goes down. And unfortunately, this is a slow time as well. So they're saying, we don't know if he's going to make the cut for Vegas, and he doesn't.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that I always comment on this, but I think it's weird when they even say that when they don't end up making it. It just like gives us false hope.
Well, I think they were kind of like in real time. Obviously, they didn't know mm-hmm. whether or not he was going to make it. But I think this was like, we know he doesn't make it, but we can't say that he doesn't make it yet. But we're letting you know. No, it's not looking good.
Got it. Yeah, it's sad because he's a gymnast. So you would think that a trampoline wouldn't throw him.
Well, he wasn't a trampoline gymnast.
You got me there. I'm trying to think of, I don't really know much about gymnastics outside of the television show Make It or Break It and all of the Bring It On movies, but that's cheerleading, not gymnastics. But I think that they all train on trampolines, right? I don't know.
Well, he's no Shunsuke from Sasuke, who was an Olympic trampolinist.
Yeah, I was going to say, trampolining is its own sport, and it's really funny to watch in the Olympics, yeah. Especially when they mess up and just like land on their backs on the trampoline.
Well, Shunsuke Nagasaki, one of my favorite Sasuke competitors. He came back recently. He's doing well. So there goes Jonathan Horton. Next up, we have Mighty Casey, Casey Catanzaro, the 27-year-old gym owner. They keep calling her Mighty Casey. I've never actually heard her call herself Mighty Casey.
She hashtags it in her social media posts. I think it's a good one, though, because she's so tiny. So it's like Mighty Mouse or like Small But Mighty.
Well, that's the thing. Like seeing her be somewhat successful here again, like you're reminded just how compelling it is. Like even more than just like the fact that obviously like she's a very successful woman athlete. Like just her size. It's so captivating to watch her go through these obstacles because she needs to put every ounce, every inch of her body into everything that she does in order to make it through. And it's just like, how does she do that?
Yeah. And it's so great because she's such a complete athlete that her flexibility is so necessary to her success. Like if you watch her, the runs that she's finished, like she's so creative with like being able to like on the jumping spider, like extend to a full center split. Like, it's so cool to see her be able to do these things that other people wouldn't even have to think about. Like, these tall male athletes don't need to worry about being able to do a full split just to complete an obstacle. Yeah. And she's able to do that.
So we have this big package on Casey where she talks about how the expectations really wore on her. It made her feel like she wasn't herself. Her friends would watch and be like, who is that? Why do you look so nervous? She says it just hasn't been fun for her these last couple of years. And luckily, she got this terrible B-roll of her with her girlfriends working outside.
This was not terrible. How
this
dare
was
you?
Such bad footage.
Have you
it
ever?
Was so corny.
Oh my God! Have you ever even gotten a pedicure with your girlfriends? It looks
so
exactly
bad.
Like that.
They were like slowly jogging and then like high five, like we're working out outside.
Wow, clearly you have no idea what it's like to be a woman working out at a playground and running slowly with other women, because it looks exactly like that.
And then getting manicures.
Yeah, pedicures.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, this was great, though, because it is really like, I think when you're idolized to this point, when you're the only one of something or the first one of something or whatever, and you're, you know, her run was so viral to people who didn't even watch the show, and she had the celebrity status. I think it's dehumanizing because people just see her as these one or two runs that they saw on the internet, and they don't see her as a complete person. And so when she fails to do the one thing that everybody knows her for, it's like so devastating because it's her whole identity. And, you know, that must be terrible. And so I love this whole idea of now she's integrating fitness into her life rather than sculpting her whole life around training, because clearly it was draining for her emotionally. And, you know, she wasn't able to be herself and be happy and confident.
Yeah, I will say, despite the poor execution on the B-roll, I think this was really well put together in terms of like the story and how it came together with her run. It really did feel like they were capturing a bit of that magic that they had when she completed the city's finals course. You know, the message that she is like she's working out with her friends, and they kept cutting to some little girls in the audience watching her on. That was great. Really, really great stuff. And obviously her facial expressions, she was so like happy and passionate to be there and that she was doing well. She does pretty well on this course. She makes it all the way to the warped wall. They point out again, only 95 pounds. She's so small.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
So she makes it to the warped wall. This is the first time she's made it to the warped wall since her city's final finish. She hasn't faced this taller wall yet in competition. She misses her first attempt, goes in the second try, gets her fingers up there, but then goes down. And again, like, you're seeing it on her face. She just wants to put everything into this. You're seeing Barclay and Jesse on the sidelines, like, nearly in tears. You're seeing the little girls in the audience looking on, like, very, very compelling stuff. She makes her third attempt, gets her hand on the wall. She grabs it and then falls back down. She still qualifies here, but she's obviously very upset that she wasn't able to get up that wall.
Yeah, it's, you know, a disappointing and anticlimactic thing, just because all the images that they show over and over again that are so iconic of her standing on top of the warped wall, you know, we would have another one of those. But she didn't get wet, and, you know, she almost made it to the back half of the course. So it's better than seeing her just, like, mess up on the trampoline early on or something like that, like we've seen the last couple of years.
Yes. Great stuff from Casey. So next up, we have another hourglass drop montage. We got Tremaine Dortch, Brian Burkhart, both go out on the hourglass drop. And this is where they say more than half the field has gone out here.
Yeah, that makes it not a great obstacle for TV.
Yes, exactly. I will say it's good in the sense that it's quick. Like, every time they got to the pipe fitter, I was just like, ah, like, the pace just slows down. It like, especially, like, they get through those first, you know, 3 to 4 obstacles, and then it's like they get through them pretty quickly. And then it's like, oh, right, I forgot about the pipe fitter. And this is going to take like a good 30 seconds at least to get through. And it's just like, ah, but at least stuff like the hourglass drop is TV friendly in the sense that it's over quickly if they're not going to make it.
Yeah, but so just watching like that. Their knees buckle on the trampoline, like, it's so, I don't know. So yeah. Anticlimactic.
It is very anticlimactic when it's just like they have a lot of strength left. They're obviously doing really well, and then done. All right. So then we have Kenny Niematalo, the 30-year-old construction worker. I remember talking about him last year. He spent 3 months living in the hospital with his daughter, who was sick. He needed a kidney donor for his daughter. He was hoping that he would find one through the show. And great package here. They did manage to find a kidney donor, somebody who watched the show and decided, you know what, I'll donate my kidney to save this little girl.
Jesus Christ. Like, this woman is an angel. Can you imagine? I don't even know my blood type. Like, I feel like I can't even imagine, like, taking, like, having the idea of, like, yeah, I will donate my organ to this stranger's child.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. It sounded like she was kind of saying, like, she had been thinking about it anyway, like donating an organ. And then she saw this story and was like, oh, I'll donate it to them. I'm not sure. I didn't like super like catch on as to whether or not that was the right read or not. But, you know, either way, like, in very, very compelling and very generous, obviously, very touching package.
Yeah. And it seems like she's kind of like a part of their family now, or at least is like integrated into that. Like, she was holding the baby when she was watching the run on the sidelines, and they just all seem, you know, really like they have this amazing bond that the show brought to them. And she mentions, like, that's one of the things that we love about the show, you know, talking about watching it with her husband, is that, like, we love it for the background stories. And as much as I think some people get frustrated, and we even get frustrated sometimes about kind of the emphasis on the human interest or whatever, that's what makes this show what it is. And that's what makes it different from just watching, you know, any other sport and or any other individual sport, at least. And I think that this story really highlighted, like, why that matters, why these background stories and these human interest stories really are essential to the show.
Yes. And their daughter, Hazel, is now almost 2 years old. Very adorable. I also thought it was interesting that the woman who, I think her name was Amy, who donated the kidney, she actually looks a lot like Kenny's wife. Like,
yeah,
she almost looks like she could be an older sister or something.
Intrigue. That'd be quite a plot twist.
Oh, my. But yes, very, very compelling stuff. He's made it to the city finals 4 years in a row, but hasn't made it to Vegas since season 6. He goes pretty slowly. So they mentioned that he'll need to probably complete the hourglass drop if he wants to qualify. But unfortunately, doesn't get enough height on the hourglass drop jump. And they say probably not fast enough to qualify here. And unfortunately, it is not.
But Amy gets to be part of the interview with Christine. That was nice.
Yes. And I think it's going to be hard for him to feel like a loser anytime soon, having got his daughter a kidney.
Yeah. This stories like these really do. They give me hope in the world. So I love this show so much.
This is like legitimately a case of like it was a win that he got here because it really was a win. Like even though he didn't qualify for Vegas either year, he got a kidney for his daughter. So
right.
That's like
his daughter's
the biggest
life
win of all.
Was saved by being on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's inspiring. I actually, I learned that on NBC Sports Network, they do like Warrior Wednesdays where they just play marathons of old episodes of American Ninja Warrior. And I was watching some of the city finals courses from season 7 from before we started podcasting. But when I like really got into the show, and I was just reminded of like how much pure like love I have for this show. Like, I think we get so cynical because we have to, you know, recap these episodes. Not have to. We love it, obviously. But, you know, we have all this sass and throw shade and stuff like that. But really, like, this show really captured my imagination, which is why I first started watching it. Not just because I like sports, which I do. But, you know, there was something about it that drew me in immediately. So watching those old episodes really, rekindled my love, and stories like this do that too.
Yeah, well, we throw some shade, right? Like we have some sass in our podcast, but I hope people understand. And like even athletes that are listening, or any listeners that are just watchers of the show, that it's all in good fun. We love the show. We make fun of it to have fun with talking about it. We wouldn't actually dislike the show, and we don't dislike any of the athletes either, despite how much Lita actually does hate them. But we'll pretend Lita doesn't actually. I don't actually hate anyone. It's all in good fun. So next up, we had another montage. First was Will Smithy, who had a fancy mustache.
Not too small.
Oh, okay. He goes out on the salmon ladder. Then we had Brandon Pinnell, who goes out on the hourglass drop, and Jody Avila, the big dog ninja, who looked like he was home free on the hourglass drop, but he too got wet.
Did they actually call him the big dog ninja this time?
They didn't.
Yeah, I knew that was just going to peter out. It's not a good nickname. He was probably like, hey, can you guys like not with the big dog ninja? Can you just not put it on the episode?
I know I said Akbar could give me a nickname, but
I got a do-over. Yeah. It's like if I qualify for Vegas, I get a second Akbar nickname.
Well, actually, can I? Maybe Matt can have a go.
Yeah, Matt can give it a shot. Yeah.
All right. Next up was Nicholas Coolridge, the 28-year-old acrobat. We joined him at the Pipe Fitter. They point out this is the guy that lived in his van and did a dumpster diving for food.
Yeah, we had kind of forgotten about that for the last little bit, I think. They hadn't brought it up in a long time.
Yes, he does qualify for Vegas. I remember being in Vegas and seeing Nick Coolridge, and Lita was like, is he the guy that dumpster dived? Is he? Like, yeah, I think he is. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I just for some reason pulled that out of the crevices of my brain because I like it because it kind of like flies in the face of all of these ideas about how you need to eat to be an athlete or whatever. And I'm like, this person literally eats trash. And he's a fantastic athlete. So that's very inspiring to me.
Yes. So Nicholas Coolridge, he makes it past the hourglass drop. And Akbar says, I told you he's cool as ice.
Did he tell us that?
I don't remember him telling us that.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Maybe it was in the first half of the course when we didn't actually see it.
Yeah. This was weird because they were like, oh, he was supposed to compete in LA, but he was out of the country. So now he's competing here. You can just do that. You can just be like, no, that doesn't work for me.
Well, if you're a big name like Nicholas Coolridge.
Is he a big enough name
totally,
to be
able... Yeah, they totally like haven't featured him in 2 years,
yeah,
but still.
He just has these orange pants, and that's all I really remembered about him until the dumpster diving thing.
It's the modern Tarzan.
Yeah, I know. But like, honestly, if you had asked me before this episode, who is the modern Tarzan? Like, I remember the modern Tarzan being a thing, and I remember Nicholas Coolridge, but I couldn't remember that they were the same person.
Wow. Talk about hate.
He just really has not been a star. So I was surprised that they were allowed to just like work around his schedule.
Man. I'm sorry, Nicholas Coolridge. Jeez. I think you deserve it.
No, I'm a fan. I'm just saying it was confusing to me.
Yeah. It was weird that they even brought it up because like who really cares?
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess they need to say something. He makes it to the elevator climb. Akbar says, "This is not an automatic elevator. There are no buttons to press."
Yeah. The elevator in my building got stuck the other night.
Did you have to manually crank it up?
No. And I was really nervous that I was going to have to do something. I was tweeting about it because I was like, do I call 911? Like, what if someone's in there? Like, the alarm was going off. Like, I could hear it from my apartment. And I was like,
hey,
what
Twitter
do I
followers,
do?
What do you do in a stuck elevator?
I literally was like, I assume if someone is in there, they would have already called 911, right? But what if they didn't? So I should call 911. But then by the time I decided to call 911, it stopped.
Well, what you should have done is call Daniel Gill to manually operate it for you.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't want to bother him in the middle of the night.
I think he seems like a nice guy. I think he would have done it.
You think he would have come to Michigan from Texas to crank up my elevator?
He's got a good heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't take elevators if I can avoid it because they're terrible.
I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a 38 flight elevator in Toronto.
Something like
when
that.
We went to that know-it-alls.
We all just got
ridiculous.
Sick. It was like the Disney World
every
ride.
Single time we left the Airbnb or went to the Airbnb, we were like throwing up. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So we hate this obstacle, basically.
Yes. So it seems like he has trouble finding a rhythm coming up this thing and eventually loses out his strength and goes down on the elevator climb.
Yes, goodbye, Nicholas.
All right, next up, we had another montage. First was Tanner Ross, the pool designer. They said he made a big splash with his fashion choice. He competed in skinny jeans, but he made a small splash on the salmon ladder.
He should have worn swim trunks. Because he's
Why?
A pool designer.
But he was wearing skinny jeans. He was making a big splash by wearing skinny jeans.
Okay. Is a pool designer really like a job that you can have exclusively?
I don't know. I don't even know what it means. It just said pool designer.
Yeah.
For all I know, he's he makes like pool tables.
I guess. Yeah. I feel like pool designer is just like you draw a rectangle. You're like, done.
Pools can be different shapes other than rectangles.
Yeah, but anybody can come up with a shape for a pool.
I feel like this is very offensive to all our pool designer listeners.
Okay, if you're a pool designer and you're listening to this, please tell me if that's the only thing you do, or if you also design like skate parks, like bowls and stuff, or other like pool adjacent things.
So offensive.
Maybe like ice rinks.
Next up, we had Demir Okanovic. He goes out at the hourglass drop, but does manage to qualify. And then finally, Grant Clinton, who also goes out at the hourglass drop and also qualifies.
Yeah, and Demir Okanovic owns a nail salon, and he polished off the front half of the course.
There you go.
Not that you would know, because you don't even know the difference between a manicure and a pedicure.
One is for hands and one is for feet.
Yeah, but you couldn't identify that when Casey was getting one.
Because I was too busy looking at how bad the B-roll footage was.
Rude.
Next was Barclay Stockett, the 22-year-old gymnastics coach. She was inspired by Casey. This wasn't as bad. This is like more of their typical style where it was just like her on her laptop pretending to look at Casey on the Facebook for the first time, which was like fine. And I wouldn't have noticed, but because there was bad B-roll footage before, I was like, this was noticeable to me again. But she says that she was inspired by watching her run, that they're the same height, and she actually managed to meet Casey a year ago, and now they're special friends. They call they're like twins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So very, very cool story. And you can see why they would stack the deck favor.
Oh yeah, and I was buying it hook, line, and sinker. Like, I don't even care that this was a little bit rigged. Like, I was like emotional, and it's just this whole thing of you can't be what you can't see. I know I say it all the time, but you really don't even consider yourself capable for certain things until someone else does it. And so, you know, she might have just thought it's not possible for women of my size. And so it's just really nice. And they're such good friends. And it was just really sweet. They're like hugging and they're doing pull-ups together, you know, as women do when they hang out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, according to Ninja, if Ninja Warrior is to be believed, anytime women are hanging out, they're either working out, doing like pull-ups together, or they're getting pedicures.
Yeah, well, I mostly just run slowly into a park with my friends, but sometimes,
I forgot that one.
Yeah, sometimes we do pull-ups together.
I figured. All right. So Matt says she was very frustrated that she didn't make it up the warped wall in qualifying. So she really wants to do that this time. She does manage to make it past the pipe fitter, which took her out before. And guess what?
Guess what?
Akbar Caesar.
Oh, I should just know.
You should.
I should just know.
So they point out, here we go. We're going to play a game. Is Lita going to be pleased or annoyed? Because they didn't say that she's the eighth or ninth or whatever woman to go up the warp wall. But they did say that she's the shortest person to go up the warp wall. No, so is Lita pleased or annoyed?
No, they said she's the shortest person to go up the new 14 and a half foot yes. warp wall. No. No, we're not doing this. We can't do it every time an obstacle is slightly altered. We can't do it.
Any listener that chose annoyed, you give yourself a point. Any listener that chose pleased, dock yourself a point, please. You're at negative one. And we'll update those scorecards as we progress in this game. So, Barclay, she becomes the shortest person to ever make it up the warped wall. Matt says
no,
she has already made history. Oh, yes, the new warped wall. She's already made history, and now let's see how far she goes. She makes it up that salmon ladder, and Akbar says, we've seen her train. She's a beast on the salmon ladder. Look at the L's. She's redefining the alphabet with those L's. Look at that. Holy moly.
Textbook.
Yeah.
Those L's are textbook.
But guess what?
What?
She does become the sixth woman ever to conquer the salmon ladder.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, at some point, like, I just don't. They have this running tally for every classic obstacle. Like, who keeps track of this? So they have a spreadsheet. This needs to be like an Excel sheet at this point.
There's literally somebody's job at NBC is to, like, just keep a tally of, like, all of, and not just the women, but, like, just all of the statistics of, like, well, we need to hand these to Matt so that he can say, we need to know when history is made. We need to point it out every single time.
My God. And it's just so weird because Casey is the shortest woman ever up the warped wall. She ties Casey because they're the same size. That's what this whole thing is about. But this is the new warped wall. So it's a new record.
They're both the shortest woman to go. They're both the shortest person to go up the warped wall.
Yeah, I know. But not even. I think that there is a 5 foot man who has gone up. It's Tyler, yes. Yamauchi, maybe?
I think it was Tyler, yeah.
Yeah. But even it's like we can't. It's just it's reaching. It's so far away and they're reaching out for it.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, she isn't able to get enough height on the jump for the hourglass drop. And she goes into the water, but she's super happy and super pumped anyway. They dogpile her on the sidelines. And her and Casey are both going to Vegas.
This was so sweet. And this is the first time that I've been like, all right, fine. I'm a little bit in on the two women automatically going to Vegas thing.
There you go. Came kind of close to qualifying anyway. Made it to the obstacle that was the cutoff. Just didn't get there fast enough.
Yeah.
So impressive job by Barclay. We'll see what she does in Vegas. Then we got our next montage. First was Josh Salinas, who's called Iron Josh. He goes out at the hourglass drop. Then we had Andrew Lowe's, who spun out on the spinball wizard. And they both qualify.
Congratulations.
Yes. Then we have Brent Stephenson, the 36-year-old gym owner. And I've got to say, by the time we get to Brent, I know his package is coming up. And I'm already just like, I feel like I've already seen his entire package because they previewed it every single time they went to commercial with like different clips every single time. And I felt like I already got exactly what they're going to say. And that there really wasn't any new information in the package.
I don't even have any notes from his package. So I was like, I already saw this three times. I know what's going on.
Exactly. He's been traveling to army bases, training soldiers in obstacle training. And this one did feel a lot like an ad. Like, you know, here at Alpha, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
we support our troops and we train the soldiers and we're awesome people. And I'm sure they are. I'm not saying anything bad about Brent or Alpha Jim thing.
For the troops.
Or the troops. But it did feel a bit oversaturated, especially seeing those previews over and over. So nothing to Brent, nothing against Brent, but, unfortunate that they chose to present it in this way. I thought it was a little overdone.
Yeah, I liked it better when he was learning how to two-step, because now he lives in Texas.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't realize until, so they call him the elder statesman of American Ninja Warrior, which is really funny because he's only 36. But I never realized that there was such a large age difference between him and Casey. They're like 9 years apart.
Yeah, yeah. I believe this is the first time they've called him the Elder Statesman. I don't know how he feels about that.
Yeah, well, I thought it was strange, but I just started thinking about it because I don't know. I just always thought of them as similar ages. Not that 9 years is like huge or there's anything wrong with that. It's just surprising to me.
I think part of it is that he looks very young.
Yeah, he does.
You know, especially like with the bald head and the, you know, the young face. He, just, yeah. he doesn't look like he's that much older.
And I feel like Casey seems older too. Like it is so strange to think about, like, all this happened to her when she was only 24 when her first run went viral. That's young.
Yeah. And I will say, having seen Casey in person at Vegas, very beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful. Yeah.
Even more so in person, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So Brent, he does pretty well here. He moves very quickly to make sure he qualifies. And despite that, he still manages to make it through the hourglass drop. So he didn't even need to move quickly. Only the fifth person to do so. And he gets all the way to the elevator climb. He gets through the spin ball wizard.
Yes.
He really showing off the body control as it tried to spin him out of control, but he manages to get it back under control, makes it to the elevator climb. And like I said, he's got the struggle face.
Yeah, they all come off of this obstacle looking like death.
Yeah.
Like they just come off sweaty and like exhausted and out of breath. Like whether they finished it or not, they all just look like they could be blown over by a breeze.
Yeah, it's like designed to completely exhaust every bit of strength you have.
Yeah.
Akbar says, oh, look at him. Look at the grimace. You're seeing his teeth and everything.
Yeah, I think that's necessary for a grimace. Maybe not.
It's necessary for a struggle face.
Yeah, okay. Teeth are an important component of the struggle face.
Very important. Finally, we have Daniel Gill, not Daniel Stillings, the 23-year-old worship leader. They say this was an interesting statistic. Over the past three seasons, only Drew has completed more obstacles than Daniel Gill.
Does that mean different obstacles or just total?
I think total obstacles completed. So like, you know, they've both been, you know, completing city qualifiers and city finals and making it to stage three. So, yeah, so it seems very believable to me. You know, Drew and Daniel, they're the top of their game right now.
Yeah, I mean, I buy it. I didn't think they were lying. I was just clarifying.
Yes, he gets to the pipe fitter and Akbar says, did you see his hair fly back? My goodness.
Big hair, big air.
And that's the next quote I have written down. He really loves that hair.
I know. It's like all that he ever focuses on. I'm telling you, that big chop is coming for Daniel. It's going to happen.
At least he doesn't call him big boy.
Yeah, I guess not. Or a yoga man.
Yeah, we get the note that Nate Burkhalter is on the bubble, but again with the not to be named Palm something or other that you've forgotten about. It was pretty clear that Nate was in trouble here.
Yeah, speaking of that, Sam San is shown in the crowd wearing a Palm Wonderful hoodie, and I just thought it was such a funny image. It's just like
what?
I don't know. He's just like the most like stoic person, just wearing this like Palm Wonderful hoodie. It just looked so out of place.
I feel like people are forgetting that Daniel Gill is like Sam San's protege.
Yeah.
Yeah. They now call them co-workers.
Mm.
So he gets past the spinball wizard. Again, like I said, nobody ever even touches that last wizard. Poor lonely wizard. He gets all the way up the elevator climb, gets his legs up on the platform, and then almost falls back. We've never actually seen somebody almost fall back like that before.
Yeah, he like got his legs up on the thing and then just like couldn't muster any more strength, which is just so, this thing is so killer. I feel like just make it even like 5 feet shorter.
Well, then we wouldn't see the almost fail.
I guess. Like, is one almost fail worth all these people not being able to do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, see, what he tried to do was usually when people get their feet up, they then use the fact that they've got their feet there to take a lot of the weight off of themselves to then like get the elevator handles up even further and pull themselves up that way. But instead of doing that, he tried to put his elbow back on one of the handles as like a resting place to like push his body up instead of moving them up manually. And obviously those things are not very wide, so his elbow slips and he almost falls back. And man, that would have, you could see the platform beneath him,
yeah,
like speeding up, like, oh my god, if he falls back like this, he's gonna break his neck. Like, this is no good. So we might actually see some changes with that, because that really did seem like a safety hazard.
Yeah, like, leave all the injuries to Team Ninja Warrior. Okay, that's where we butcher our ninjas.
Yes. So he does manage to make it up and hits the buzzer. He's our only finisher of the night. And Akbar says he's got the hair. He's got the style. He's got the look. He's got the wife. And he's got to the top of that buzzer.
Goals on all fronts.
And I didn't realize that it was difficult to get to the top of the buzzer.
Yeah, you have to climb that extra little bit just to get to the top of the buzzer. You can't tap it on the side.
Yeah, there's a reason it's at the top.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I think lifting your arms after doing that last obstacle probably would be a challenge.
I imagine so. So this is, in fact, the not to be named run of the night. And he said he's practiced this movement for a while.
What movement?
I guess the movement of like shimmying yourself up the elevator climb / invisible ladder.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's what he said.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just weren't specific. I know he's practiced some movement. They say he's a dancer when he is on the agility obstacle. Like, is he a dancer or is he a person who has taken dance classes?
It's probably the former.
Yeah. You know, I'm not one to be a cop about who's a dancer and who's not. Anyone can be a dancer.
I'm pretty sure they, like, at one point, I think you're right, actually. I think they were like, he took salsa classes.
Yeah, he took ballroom classes, but I don't think that he, I don't know, whatever. Everyone's a dancer, first of all. So I don't want to be too strict about that.
So that's our episode. Pretty good one here. We again have Daniel Gill and Thomas Stillings as number one and number two on the leaderboard. We had three people fail at the elevator climb, and then two people fail at Spinball Wizard, and the rest went out at Hourglass Drop, with Jody, Big Dog Ninja, our final finisher, in 15th place. He does manage to qualify for Vegas. And then, of course, the women who moved on were Barclay and Casey. So a pretty good lineup here.
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah. All right. So that's our San Antonio episode. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to next week. What's up next week?
Daytona.
Right. We're going to get some more. Oh, no. All the
no
race
more car
drivers are gone.
I know. Yeah. I'm excited, too.
I wonder if we're going to get interviews with them.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, how do you think you would do if you made it to this?
Oh, I totally would have killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you find us on iTunes. You can find us American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups. That's RHAP Ups. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed. That's RHAP Ups again on iTunes. You can find all sorts of great podcasts in that feed, including the American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up, the Terran Show, which is very, very fun. Even if you don't watch Big Brother or you don't listen to our other podcasts, there's some just fun discussion. I talked to Ian about, like, what is it like to be a 21-year-old who wins a show like this with all this attention? And you now have $500,000 in your bank. You have a check for $500,000. What does that do to you as a person? It's an interesting conversation. So I hope you check it out. And then, of course, Brent, very interesting, regardless of what your interest is in anything. So you can find that. And also the So You Think You Can Dance podcast that Lita hosts is also in that feed. And all the Big Brother stuff as well. So, you know, even if you don't listen to all of that stuff, what I do is I just subscribe to the feed and I just I skip all the stuff I don't listen to.
Yeah, which would never be So You Think You Can Dance or The Terran Show. Obviously,
never
you would
skipped a single So You Think You Can Dance. What was it? I forget.
Wow, rude. I'm recording that later with the fabulous, wonderful Kelly Bedard, who's nice to me, unlike some of my other Rehap Up co-hosts. So.
I bet that's why it's not as good as this one.
Wow. Okay.
Boom.
At least I remember to plug my other shows on my other Rehap Ups. So anyway, please check that out. It'll be fun. We're getting through the Academy. Really good season. I'm really high on it.
Yes, and you can find us on iTunes. When you do, you can leave us a rating and review. I've got to say, the Terran Show has like quadrupled the amount of American Ninja Warrior ratings. So you American Ninja Warrior listeners, you're slacking off here.
Humble brag.
I'm trying to motivate them, Lita. You complain all the time that I'm not plugging the show enough. I'm trying to give them some motivation. These are like dedicated people. They're ninjas. They watch the show. They want to be ninjas just like all the rest of the ninjas. And you can be a ninja by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes.
Yeah, it'll definitely increase your odds of getting on the show. We can guarantee that.
Yes.
are we reading a review?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We'll just do a quick one. So this is called So Good 5 Stars. Lita and Taryn are hilarious and give us a great overview on the episode. I really only watch the show now for the podcast. It's that good. Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
It's always a good thing to hear that they like the podcast enough that they watch the show for it. Because I do that all the time. I watch shows just to listen to the podcast. It's fun. It's more fun to watch a show when you know that there's like more content that discusses the show and there's more stuff to get into. It really enhances the experience for me. And I hope it enhances the experience for all of you lovely listeners. So make sure you check us out on iTunes. And you can also find us on robhasawebsite.com. Do we have a hashtag?
Ooh, Daniel Stillings.
Yes, I like it. Daniel, hashtag Daniel Stillings. Really, really great hashtag there. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. Also, make sure you validate her on Instagram. She's at Lita Grams.
Yes, and people actually have been following me on Instagram. I'm so excited that my desperate ploy has at least somewhat worked.
They may have been following you, but are they validating you?
Yes, I have been contacted by ninjas and by all sorts of different people on Instagram.
Do we want to drop this?
Or are we going to? I don't know if it'll actually happen, but now I'm making it sound like something really exciting happened. But so we talked about the Wine Warrior last week and how I was super into it. And I wanted a T-shirt because I am a wine warrior because I love wine. And Taryn was a real use a bad word about it and said that wine wasn't good and that pizza's better than wine. So the Wine Warrior, her name is Tammy McClure, actually contacted me on Instagram and said that she wants to send me a t-shirt and Taryn doesn't get one because wine is better than pizza. She specifically said that. I have the receipts and I felt so vindicated in my whole life that I'm getting free stuff and Taryn is not.
Well, guess who's going to be reaching out to the pizza ninja to get a pizza shirt?
It's not the same if you reach out to them. That's just despy. So thank you, Tammy, for listening to the podcast, first and foremost. Even if you don't send me a t-shirt, whatever, that's fine. I'm so happy that you listen to us. It's so nice.
We really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. All right. So that is our episode. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you tweet at us with the hashtag Daniel Stillings. We will see you next time.